Hello.
Hi.
I'm Sasha.
And I'm Ezra.
And welcome to another episode of our podcast.
Concerning climate.
Today we have Seth Bush.
Seth Bush is a coach for social change leaders working to heal the climate crisis and build resilient communities.
Thank you for coming.
My joy. As I said, I'm just delighted to be here with y'all.
What kind of work do you do?
Oh, that's a good question. So I am a leadership coach for social change leaders. And so what that means is we all have goals and dreams and a desire to make a difference, as I know you two both do. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing this podcast, right? And I bet even you two have noticed, as well as I'm sure the listeners, that when we decide to actually go and do something about our goals and dreams and desires to make a difference, maybe things don't go the way we thought they would. They're a little bit harder than we expected, right? Maybe some unexpected stuff comes up. Maybe we have all sorts of worries and doubts that we really don't have what it takes to actually make a difference, even though we have some big goals and dreams. And so what I do as a coach is help people get really clear on what are those, you know, so they're really alive in them, and then be taking the steps to actually do what's meaningful to them. And not just do it, but do it in a way that they can keep doing it for the long haul. Because sometimes activists, when we care a whole awful lot, we do a lot of things and it can be very exhausting. And so I help people stay really sustained in their work. And also I help people, because you know, it's like, if we're going to do something about this climate crisis that we're in, there's a lot of organizing to be done. And that means working with people and leading teams. And so one of the things I love to do as a coach is not just help people do what's important to them, but lead other people in such a way that they can be really proud of how they showed up for their community and showed up for their people. And so that we can all be really successful together. Thus the resilience communities part. It's not just about what I'm doing, but as a leader, but what is our community able to do as a result of my skills as a leader? So I'm a coach and I help people just be really awesome.
How did you decide to pursue this career?
So I grew up Quaker, and one of the, it's you know, Quaker faith, and one of the really central parts of Quakerism is this idea of stewardship, which on one hand is about stewardship of our environment and our living systems, right? So that's always been part of me. And on another hand, it's about stewardship of our communities and like, how are we taking really good care of each other, which is part of, you know, our environment. And when I went to college, ultimately, even though I was studying electrical and computer engineering, I actually found a real love for community organizing. So taking that like, that piece of stewardship and really applying it in my life. So I did a lot of work at Pitt around sustainability and green practices, like from using reusable water bottles to actually pushing them to get off fossil fuels and implement more solar panels and green roofs and things like that. And then when I graduated, I was like, I really love this work. So I actually was privileged enough to get a job with the Sierra Club and work on their Beyond Coal campaign in Baltimore. So I did organizing in Baltimore, helping to clean up dirty coal-fired power plants and make way for more renewable energy, and also help people with their homes be more energy efficient, all doing that through policy. I know you had a policy person on one of your episodes. And so I wasn't the person writing the policy, but more the person organizing the people to go talk to the legislators and the elected officials and say, hey, you should do this policy because it's going to be good for us. Or maybe, hey, don't do this policy because it's going to be bad for us. But what I really noticed as I was doing that work is it's a lot of work, right? And it can be really hard to look at all the bad things that are happening, from air pollution to global warming to, you know, sea level rise to forest fires to all these things, you know, environmental injustice happening in our communities. And I saw people, though, seeing all of these crises and all of these really big challenges, and wanting some skills to be able to meet them so that they can be resilient themselves. I saw a lot of the volunteers I was working with being really exhausted and really tired and getting kind of burned out, and sometimes not even showing up the way they wanted to be. to the people who they really cared about. And so I was like, okay, I needed those skills first. And then I saw, after working with my own coach, wow, I would love to bring these skills to other people so that, you know, if we're going to get to a future, I don't know about you, but I want to live in a future where we can have love and joy and happiness. And if we're going to get to that future, we got some work to do, right? If we're going to have that future for all sorts of people. And, you know, it's going to take some skills for us to really learn how to bring that joy and compassion and love into how we work with people. And so if we are running around like, you know, monkeys with our tails on fire with all the things that we have to do, being really overwhelmed with all the crises all of the time, we're not as kind to ourselves and other people, and we're not as strategic, and we're not as creative, and we're not as compassionate. So I really started seeing, wow, if I could support people to start bringing that compassion and love and joy and ease into their work now, we can better create that future.
What do you find the most interesting about what you do?
Mm-hmm. You know, what I find the most interesting is the people who I get to work with. You know, as a coach, I get to talk with people, and I get to talk with the coolest people. As I was saying earlier, who have these incredible goals and dreams and a desire to make a difference. And it's so enlivening to me and interesting to me to get to support folks to see that for themselves. One thing that I like to say in coaching is, like, as a coach, I know who I am. I can see who you are. And in my presence, then you get to see who you are. And so what's really interesting to me is to get to see people wake up to themselves and really get to, for themselves, see who they are and that they have everything it takes to be able to do something about that goals and dreams and desires to make a difference that they have and to lead in the way that they want to be leading. So yeah, the most interesting part is just watching people like light up, just kind of start glowing when they see themselves.
What have you learned from your work about climate change that you can pertain to everyday life?
I've learned that in order to meet this moment, this climate crisis, it takes everybody. If we're going to change everything, it's going to take everybody. And I'm really honored to get to witness so many different people taking so many different approaches, because sometimes we can get really in our own place of like, well, I guess the only thing I can do is recycle and, you know, use reusable water bottles and maybe put solar in my house if I have the money. But there's so many creative ideas out there. And I think the thing that I'm learning about climate change is that it can be really scary. It can be really scary, and people have a lot of creativity. It's like we have these brains that are possibility generating machines. You know, humans, we have this gift of seeing all these different possibilities for the world. And the climate crisis, what I'm learning, presents one possibility that things could get really, really bad. You know, and at the same time, you know, as it's relevant to my work, I'm getting to see too, just how many possibilities for change and creative ideas people have at the same time. And so I'm learning that even though it's really, really hard, it's also an opportunity for us to be transforming as a society if we choose to accept that path. And, you know, that's daunting, but also I think invigorating in a way.
What is the most memorable experience you've had doing what you do?
Wow. That's a good question. I bet if you ask me that same question again tomorrow, I will give you a different answer. I think, you know, I don't have a specific I don't have a specific like story in mind, but it's happened over and over and over again. And it's just kind of really memorable is when I'm working with people, the moment when they see how they've been doing things up until then, you know, they see they've been doing things in a way, maybe they've been looking at their work in a particular way and they've been feeling really exhausted by their work. And all of a sudden they have this moment when it's like, they just light up and realize, oh my gosh, I don't have to do it the way that I've been doing it. And in fact, if I do it this different way, I can be so much more effective in my work. Like I've been holding on to this way that I thought I had to do it for so long, and that's not actually true. And I get to do that with my clients all the time. And that's what really is just consistently memorable about this work is people waking up and seeing a more empowering way to do what they do and make a difference in a meaningful way. I'll say, yeah, I could tell a bunch more stories, but I'll leave it at that right now.
As you have inspired many of the people you have coached, have any of them inspired you?
Every day. Every day I was working with a client today who's writing a book. It's like, I want to write a book someday. I was working with an urban gardener here in Pittsburgh, actually. As a result of working with him and some of the folks on his team, I was like, wait, I want a garden. Like one of the things that I talk about with my clients is this idea of that we all have life's intentions. We all have some underlying direction, aim, purpose that gives really great meaning to our lives. And one of mine is to really be a contributor to my community. Like when I get to be a contributor to my community and I see that, it just like lights me right up. And what I love about coaching is it's like, it's work for me too. It's like, it's such a benefit to me too. And so I get to be inspired by my clients and I'm just thinking about this one who's this gardener and working with him and how he engages with the earth and his community around food allowed me to really see, oh, I can do that too. That's inspiring. And so it ends up being this very reciprocal thing. We're getting to work with my clients on a daily basis. I get to see new aspects of my life for how I can be growing and contributing in really meaningful and new ways. Let's see. Yeah, every day getting inspired. I think that's my one answer for right now.
What would you say is the most important thing your career has taught you about climate change?
I think it's similar to what I was saying earlier about like, yeah, to change everything, it takes everyone. It's interesting because I don't get into the like, as I'm doing the work that I'm doing, not like getting into the science of climate change so much, right? But like, how are people showing up and being with climate change and how is it affecting us in this moment? And I think on the same kind of theme of to change everything, it takes everyone. Excuse me, I have a very loud motorcycle going by right now. So I'll pause. You can edit this out later. Okay, great. So can you ask me the question again?
Yes. What would you say is the most important thing that your career has taught you about climate change?
As I was saying earlier about to change everything, it takes everyone. It's that climate change, the effects of climate change, the climate crisis is just inseparable and interwoven with so many other challenges that we're facing right now. And when I first started coaching, I said, okay, I just want to work with people who are doing things around climate change. Like that's my thing. And although that's still like a really important piece of it for me, I've expanded to what I would call, and it's not just me who calls it this, but just transition work. There's a great organization out there called Movement Generation that has this whole framework for just transition. That's not just about, handling climate change and the climate crisis, but how do we create communities that are really regenerative, not just extractive, like not just taking things out of the earth and taking things from one another, but really being regenerative, like creating a community and a culture where everybody has the support they need, you know, and everybody has the resources that they need. And climate change is, if we're going to get to that future, like climate change is just intertwined with everything from racism to food justice, to poverty, to trans rights, to women's rights, to disability rights and disability justice, to gender justice. Like all of these things are inseparably intertwined. That in order to address the climate crisis, we have to address all of these other pieces. If we're going to create that just transition, we're going to have to address all of these pieces. And I've really learned that by working with so many different leaders who aren't just in like the climate realm, but with people who are doing everything from running political campaigns to running mutual aid organizations to working for trans rights to working for racial justice, and just seeing how like, oh my gosh, all of these pieces are connected. You know, we pull on one thread, we're just inevitably going to pull on all the other threads. Yeah, that's it.
If you had one piece of advice and or information that you could give to us and everyone listening, what would it be?
One piece of advice. Small, sweet steps. Small, sweet steps means, you know, oftentimes we can think bigger is better, right? You ever think that sometimes, okay, well, if small is good, then bigger must be better. And especially when we care a whole awful lot, like when passionate people like us, you know, see all of the big, scary stuff about the climate crisis and see all the things that we could do. It's like, well, I got to do all of it, and I have to do all of it perfectly, right? And I got to do it big. And the thing that happens, though, is sometimes when we take big bounding leaps, we're ultimately less steady in our lives. And what that could sometimes end up resulting in is when we take big bounding leaps, it's like, even just think about it. Like if you are running really fast and you take really big lunges, you might be easier for you to trip and fall, you know? And then it will take time for you to get back up and heal. And so you might get to a point and then kind of like get exhausted and fall back, and then get to a point and get exhausted and fall back, never passing that one particular point. But small, sweet steps doesn't mean you do less. It actually sometimes can help you go much further in your life, because by taking small, sweet steps, you're able to do things gently. You're able to take a look at the work that you want to do and break it down into really tiny pieces. And that would be my challenge to everybody who's listening to this, is take something you really, really care about and think about what is one small, sweet step that you could take to actually bring that thing to life. And then challenge yourself to break that small, sweet step into something even smaller and tinier. And do that one first, because what happens is when we take small, sweet steps, have you ever had that voice in your head of the kind of worry and doubt sometimes? It's just kind of this like chattering. Yeah, I see both of you nodding. It's like, yeah, sometimes we just naturally have this voice in our head. In Buddhism, they call it monkey mind, which I think is really funny, because it's like that aspect of the mind that's just chattering at us as it swings from worry to doubt back to worry again. And this monkey mind, it evolved hundreds of thousands of years ago to keep us safe, because it wants to look out for danger. It wants to look out for everything that could possibly go wrong. So very naturally, whenever we have an idea that we want to do, it usually means doing something different and new for us, right? Something we might not be used to. So that monkey mind's going to come out and start chattering at us and say, hey, you're not up for it. You don't have what it takes. It's going to take too much energy. It's going to take too much time. Maybe somebody else would be better at it. Maybe somebody else is the person who should do this idea that I have, not me. Sometimes we have thoughts like this. And when we really listen to those thoughts, it can be kind of, you know, paralyzing. It's like it can be overwhelming, right? And so small, sweet steps is how to just kind of sneak around the monkey mind. It's like, if you imagine the monkey sleeping there, if you take big, loud, bounding leaps, you're going to wake up the monkey. But if you take really small, gentle, quiet, sweet steps, then the monkey might peek up inside and say, oh, well, you can take that small step. That's not a big deal. You know how to do that. You got this. I'm going to go back to sleep. And you just take another one. You take another one. You take another one. And what you find is you actually go much further than you would have with the big bounding leaps when you take small, sweet steps. And you do it in a way that you have energy to keep going instead of being exhausted. And when you do it that way, you're able to just be nicer to other people because you're not exhausted, right? So that's my advice. You know, if you hear any worries and doubts, know that it's perfectly natural. In fact, it's a sign that there's more right with you than wrong with you. When you have a big idea and you hear those worries and doubts, it means that you're on the right path. The thing to do then is to break it down into really small, sweet steps.
So that concludes our interview. Thanks so much for coming.
My joy.
We really hope you enjoyed this episode.
Remember to follow us on our Instagram at Concerning Climate Podcast.
And make sure to do good things for the environment.
See you later.
Bye.